Anina, would you like to start with anything today?
Yes. Someone about being truthful to the truth. We had that already. I had a very difficult process to come here. Oh, learning. Yeah, it was by learning. Jordica said there has to be learning. And then we think, when we hear that we can notice some learning, that there was some more understanding. But we should not forget that Ajahn always says, little by little. So the learning may not be noticeable at all, but we have to be very patient, and we cannot expect to notice that there is learning. But there is accumulation, little by little, of a little more understanding when we listen again and again. So let us not forget what Ajahn stresses all the time, little by little. We have no idea of how little it is.
Little by little, unknown.
Yeah.
When it's known, it's not little.
But we don't notice it so slowly.
That's why I again, just in a moment and then gone.
And then gone immediately.
Yeah.
And the other day, our friend Un, who is here at the end of the discussion, asked about begin again and again. And it's a similar topic, because just as the understanding can only be little by little, so there also has to be begin again and again, because what's gone is completely gone. The understanding yesterday or a moment ago, completely gone. So there has to be the beginning again and again. Begin to understand what is there. And then little by little, this is how the understanding develops.
So now begin again. Consider again right now at any time. Because just a moment ago, it's not a moment of thinking or hearing about what is there. Even we have heard it so very close to this moment, just a moment ago, that's not enough. Because after hearing the truth, there are conditions for many realities to arise, not as understanding at all, as usual, taking it for something or I all the time, adding more and more, and then begin again to think or to hear the word seeing right now. Otherwise, no thought about seeing at all. While there is seeing right now, and we heard a lot about seeing, but no awareness or think or even just think about seeing is not there. Until now, there is seeing again, hearing again. And how much conditions to condition moment of beginning to understanding the truth of seeing as it just sees. It, not anyone, it sees.
I'm so glad you always use the example of seeing. It's so useful.
Because there are seeings all day. Sometimes we use the word all day, because no matter what one is doing, they're seeing. We're talking now, they're seeing all day. But in truth, it's not every moment. There are different moments, but since it is conditioned to arise again and again and again, even it's again and again, no understanding of it. That's why we talk about it at moment when it's there now, to understand the truth of it, that it sees no one at all.
It's a
reality which arises by conditions just to see and then gone instantly, never to return. Just being reminded and right understanding begin to develop little by little, so that it can even think about seeing by itself by conditions. Even there's no hearing any words about seeing.
It sees. It's very good that you say that.
Mm-hmm. It.
But we forget.
It is seeing. see.
Yeah.
Is it now begin to develop and knowingly so very little at a time? Very, very little at a time. Yes. Because at the same, thinking about other things.
Yes, because of accumulations. Mm-hmm. Accumulating so much ignorance.
Yeah.
And not thoughtful, not being thoughtful to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so hard when it has been accumulated. Can't be changed at once.
Kanti parami, no doubt. Why it's kanti and parami. And also adhidana barami, firm confidence of the truth. It has to be right now when it's there to be known, any moment. Yes, please.
Ajahn mentioned many times about the confidence. Yeah, can you elaborate a little bit more?
Is it you now? Is there you now?
No.
A little confidence.
The confidence things also kind of many level of confidence. Okay.
When there's just a little understanding, can it be the more confidence, more and more?
I think a little confidence. It can go little by little.
Yeah, unknown.
It can become stronger.
Even Sariputta, he didn't know how much parami he had accumulated to enlighten after hearing Asachi's words by conditions.
Let me ask Bam, who is new here, and Dream asked for him to be put in the hot seat. So what is the truth now?
There is no truth. Because you say there is no I to cough, the nothing belongs to us.
Nothing belongs to us, yep. No us.
Yep.
But if there is no us, what is there now? What is the truth of life now? What is there that is not us?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yep.
Okay. Nothing at all. So how can you see? How can you hear? How can you ask the questions if nothing at all?
Or is like jetasik.
Jetasikas. Yeah. Okay. What is jetasika?
Jetasika is... I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know that question. Can you explain, please?
So just a word.
Yeah.
So a little while ago, Ajahn was talking about seeing now.
Yeah.
Like now we're talking together. Mm-hmm. Is there any seeing right now?
Yes.
Is the seeing nothing?
No. Seeing nothing, no.
Is the seeing at this moment that sees?
Yes.
Does the seeing belong to me?
No.
Who does the seeing belong to?
Who the seeing belong to is to no one.
To no one.
Yep.
Because there is no one, so yep. It cannot belong to anyone.
Yep.
So if it doesn't belong to anyone, who or what sees?
Who? What?
Like now you say there is seeing. There's seeing. So this is the truth that there is seeing now.
Yep.
There is the reality of seeing now. No one that sees. So what sees?
Let's see. I really don't know. Would you tell me, please?
So there's seeing,
yep.
And there's no one that sees. But what is the function of seeing? What does seeing do? What is seeing?
You saw something.
It sees.
Yes,
this is the nature of seeing. It
yes.
Arises and it sees.
Yes.
It sees.
See. Yeah.
It sees an object.
Okay.
So it's the seeing itself which sees. And it's the function of seeing to see. What does the seeing see now?
It sees. What the function of seeing
the function of seeing, we agree, is to see, but it has to have an object, that which is seen. What does seeing see now?
Seeing the object.
And what is the object?
My microphone.
If you never heard about a microphone, never thought about a microphone, could there be the idea that seeing sees microphone?
Yes, it could be the idea.
So at the moment of seeing, is there any idea of microphone at the moment of seeing? Or is there only the idea of microphone when thinking about what has been seen?
Idea of the microphone.
It's an idea of the microphone. Can seeing have an idea of a microphone?
No.
Because all seeing does is see. Yes. So it doesn't have any ideas of microphone. It doesn't have any ideas of people. It doesn't have any ideas about the discussion. The seeing just sees. Yes. And so it just sees that which is visible at this moment. We can say color or that which is visible, the visible object. And afterwards, there is thinking about what has been seen. Many, many, many moments of seeing, thinking about the shape, the color, the size, the details. And then later, thinking about the idea of microphone, the idea of people, the idea of having a Dhamma discussion. But seeing has no idea at all. It just sees what is visible, yes, and then gone. And how about hearing? Can anyone hear?
Yes.
Who can hear?
It.
Is it anyone? Is yes. It anyone?
Yes.
It is anyone?
No.
No. So not anyone?
Not anyone.
And the it is, what is the it?
It. Just object.
What is it that hears?
This same function with seeing, yeah.
Can the hearing see?
No.
So different function.
Different function.
So what is the function of the hearing?
Tao.
The function of hearing, what is its job?
Get the sound. Listen.
Listen. Yep. Hear the sound. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just sound that's heard. So there's one reality, the hearing, which we call a kind of citta, and it hears the sound. Is the sound a citta? Citta. Is the sound a citta?
The sound. Probably, I'm not sure. Yeah.
So we have two kinds of realities.
Yep.
One kind of reality, like seeing or hearing, experience the object. The seeing sees, the hearing hears, they experience an object. But the visible object or the sound, can the visible object or the sound experience anything?
No.
The sound that is heard now, does it experience anything at all? Does it have any ideas?
No idea.
Does it know anything?
Know anything.
Does it care who hears it or what hears it?
Doesn't.
It's just the reality that doesn't experience anything at all. So these are two kinds of realities, the reality that experiences and the reality that doesn't experience anything at all. And those realities that can experience an object are called namas. And there are two kinds of namas, the citta, like seeing or hearing, and the chetasikas that you mentioned. These are the mental factors that accompany the cittas. So at a moment of seeing, it cannot arise alone. It has to be accompanied by chetasikas, mental factors, like the contact of the object, the feeling of the object, and so on, different chetasikas that arise with it. So these are the namas, and those realities that don't experience anything, like the visible object and the sound, these are rupas. And this is life now, different namas, different rupas arising and falling away. No one there, no thing there. But because of the thinking about different ideas, it seems that there are people in the room. It seems that there are microphones because there's thinking about all these different ideas with memory, memory of what's been seen and heard, and thinking about ideas of self. But actually, the reason we talk about seeing is to show that at this moment, there is seeing, no one there at all. Just the reality which arises, sees what is visible, and then completely gone, never to return again. Is the seeing now the same as the seeing when we spoke about it a few moments ago?
Different.
Different. Yep. What about compared to just a moment ago? Is it the same seeing or different seeing?
Different seeing.
Different seeing. And what about the object seen? Is it the same now as a moment ago?
Different.
Different. And at the moment of seeing, can there be hearing at the same time?
Cannot.
Why not?
Because they happen so fast.
Yes. Yeah. And only one citta, one chit,
yes,
can arise at a time. So at a moment of seeing, no hearing, no thinking about microphones. One moment of experiencing and then gone, followed by the next one, on and on throughout life. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions so far?
No. Thank you for explaining.
Did he pass the hot seat test?
Yeah, I think Sarah asking quite simple, but for me, I feeling it's quite difficult. Like seeing the sea or the visible object again. Say at the moment of the seeing, to see the object, many, many things arise. Say the conditions, temperatures, light, or the karma, or the rupa, and the nama arise at the moment to see, to see just a single object. It's quite really like a miracle of the Dhamma. It running somehow perfectly and precisely for just a single moment to be, things just happen. Yeah. Just difficult.
And so can we say that life just exists in one moment, just one moment now?
Cannot. Yeah. It's many, many moments.
Now, is there more than many, many moments or just one moment?
One moment at a time.
One moment at a time. And this is the world, one world that is experienced at a time. We think of the world outside and the world of Thailand and other countries, but actually the world is just at this moment of seeing, just at the moment, world just at the moment of hearing, and then gone, never to arise again. So this is the truth of life right now.
Ajahn, just back to one of our favorite topics, nimitta. It's a question about what is it precisely that nimitta is, I suppose, replicating in terms of the illusion that there is something that lasts. Because just going back to Sarah's conversation, in terms of seeing, seeing is simply visible object that arises. And it is not, it does not become something or someone unless it is thought about. So when there's thinking about the visible object, then people and things seem to be there. And the same with the other contact with the different sense doorways. So is there a nimitta of visible object, sound, hardness, etc.? Or is the nimitta, when you talk about we live in the world of nimitta, are you talking only about the nimitta of the thinking that follows the arising of visible object, sound, etc.? I suppose I'm asking, where in the process does nimitta occur?
We can talk about the truth of what is there now to be understood, right? So now, no idea, no thought about anything at all. But there is that which is seen right now, right? And what is seen? In the good thing of its truth, just what is seen now?
What is seen is what appears to be something, someone, and yet what we talk about is that is actually not the case. That is the thinking about this.
Someone and something is thinking the yes. thought about that which is seen, but in fact just about that which appears to seeing. See?
Well, what appears to seeing is not someone and something.
Never.
No, it is simply...
It's thinking instantly about that which is seen.
Yes.
But in truth, not the thinking. There must be that which is seen before thinking about that as something or someone. At night, so dark, no light, open your eyes. Is there any that which is seen?
No, there is
not. Why not? Darkness is so dark, not light. And that is that which is seen. Whatever impinge on the eye bears, it condition seeing to arise to see, no matter what the object is. You don't have to use any word. But there must be a reality which is seen when seeing arises and see.
And yet that cannot be known directly.
Yes, why not? It's dark.
I mean, what is possible to know is the nimitta of that.
You don't talk about any word, just the truth at moment of seeing is there. No matter what is seen is, no name. Even darkness there, no name, but is seen. So whatever is seen isn't the object that can be seen. No
yes.
shape, no form, no one, no idea.
That's right, that there is no someone or something at that moment, but very, very soon afterwards.
And, excuse me, how many moments of seeing even darkness?
In the sense door process.
We think about minutes, but in truth, at moment of seeing, how many moments of seeing sees that? Not just one.
There are with that sensual process.
Because darkness lasts enough to be seen. So it's not only one moment of seeing to be known as is dark, which is seen, right?
So
that's why even darkness is a nimitta of that which is dark. We use the word dark. The nimitta of that which is seen, not only one single unit.
So what is the nimitta of darkness then?
So realities arises and falls away so very rapidly. Just only one reality cannot be known or experienced. That's why in truth and in the teachings, all dhammas appear as nimitta. Nimitta of seeing right now. Nimitta of hearing, because as soon as there is hearing, there is the meaning of it instantly, see? It's not just the sound or the voice, but also that which understands the meaning of that voice too. That's why all appears in life, no matter where in heaven, what appears to be known is only nimitta of that reality. Touching right now. Hardness appear many moments of touching so that hardness can appear, even if so very little, but not more than one moment of seeing to experience that. That's why understanding what appears is only the nimitta of the reality which arises and falls away more than one.
Does that actually mean that the world and everything that we believe is to be in the world is just thinking?
Six though, yes.
In based love. On, yes.
But the other moment cannot be known.
Because the other moment cannot be known.
Mm-hmm. So what appears is like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking. No matter what about.
I just want to make small comment. I think Achan means that all dhamma that are arising and falling continuously, we know by their nimitta means seeing right now. It actually many moments of seeing. Single moment of seeing can't appear. Dhamma cannot be known that way because we know dhamma by the way of nimitta of dhamma. We live in the world of nimitta. So the actual reality cannot be known.
Yes, I think I understand that, but I think what I was confused about was whether there was a nimitta of the reality, the absolute reality, as well as the thinking of that follows that reality. But I think it's a little clearer, Ajahn, that when you say that we live in the world of nimitta, you're saying that we live in the world of thinking, of simply jeta and sika, because it cannot be known. The direct experience cannot be known.
Yeah, but even the word of sight or seeing, nimitta.
Maeve, I think when we talk about nimitta, we're talking about it in the context of what is being experienced, really. If something is not being experienced, then there's no question of a nimitta. Whatever is object of experience is being experienced by its nimitta.
And that's the only way it can be experienced.
I believe so, yes.
Yes, okay. I think I know that we go over this a lot.
Well, it's thing to comprehend, but if we just leave nimitta out for the moment, we appreciate that if there's awareness, for example, of visible object, it may seem like a moment of whatever length of awareness of visible object, but really it would have to be awareness of many, many, many moments of the visible object appearing as a short, continuous moment. And that is the nimitta effect, if you like. The rise and fall away of many different moments is appreciated as a blur,
yes.
A continuous moment of the one reality, yes. Whereas in fact there are so many, but they're inseparable. And that's, if you like, the nimitta effect.
Yes, I was actually going to use that word myself, the blur. The,
right.
The blur effect. Yes.
Everything's a blur.
John, as far as the understanding is, that Sanya is one of the universal chetasikas with every chitta, which marks and remembers. it's only one moment, one sense moment, which experience sees visual object, hears sound, and so forth. And then mind or, and that nimitta occurs in the mind or is thinking. And then again, more seeing. So ultimately, it's as if it's a rough sort of, So all these bits and pieces ultimately come together, and there's the idea, and it happens exceedingly fast, beyond understanding, just so fast, so rapidly. All these bits of visible object come together, but each point goes through the mind door and nimitta. And then in a flash, I think there's a table already in the world of concept. Is that error, Tanajan, or is that more in a line with the teaching of Dhamma, with the truth?
The truth is just only one moment at a time. Experience just one object, but so very, very fast. So the succession of the arising and falling away cannot be known at all. It's not that which it's on, but it seems like it's there, because the next moment it experiences the same object, but not the same reality which has gone. Seeing sees no matter what. Hearing hears, thinking things. Even right now, how millions and thousands of citta arising and falling away. Can it be known just one, only one? Impossible. That's why what is experienced must be the nimitta of that reality, like seeing now. There is awareness, we use the word, of seeing, many moments of seeing. No need to think about it, but to understand the characteristic which can experience right now that which appears. Only that. Otherwise, there must be the idea of I or something permanent, last even just very shortly. But in truth, nothing is last at all. As soon as it's conditioned to arise, and it has arisen, so it's gone. No condition for it to stay, to last.
Yes, not once in a lifetime, once in samsara, Ajahn. Arise and fall away, never to return again.
What is there just in split second gone? Otherwise there cannot be a moment of letting go. The idea of I see, I hear, I think, I like. Firm confidence,
getting
patience, satya, the truth, or aparami, not to go away from this moment. But now, no moment to be there now of whatever is there right now in here. No condition. To understand the closest reality right now. Seeing is there now. Hearing, thinking are there, here and now. All gone.
Dhamma is here now.
Mm-hmm. Just at the comment, Ajahn, about the nimitta, it's only for the nama, right, Ajahn?
All. Conditioned reality which arises and falls away so rapidly, only one single one cannot be known. So when it's there more and more and more, as seeing right now, not only one moment of seeing, so seeing now can be known, but not as only one single moment.
I mean, we mentioned many times about seeing. Many moments of the seeing, but how about the rupa?
Before seeing, what is there? No seeing yet.
Yeah, no seeing yet.
Can that be known? The moment before seeing?
No.
And when seeing has fallen away, the other moment follows instantly. Can that be known?
No.
Only the seeing now is known. Only six doorways in life, in any world, any time, one of the six doorways only. While there are many other things or realities, those moments cannot be known. Because seeing performs a function of seeing. It's that which sees clearly. It arises and just see and then gone. While the other moment before or after also experience the same object, but they cannot see. So what is seeing now is only one moment of seeing, but not as one, many moments as nimitta of seeing.
Yes, so the visible object, it is nimitta of the visible object?
Everything arising and falling away instantly. What is left is only the succession as shape and form to be known as nimitta of being,
so,
people.
So the, at the moment of the seeing, it is experiencing the nimitta of visible object?
Seeing sees what?
Visible object.
Okay.
So nimitta of the visible object experiencing by what?
Can a single moment of seeing be known that it experienced only one object?
No.
That's why. But it's nimitta.
Yeah, I want to clarify the nimitta we mentioned about the seeing. Okay, I agree with that point.
What about the citta before seeing?
Advaita.
Not the name.
Yeah.
But this moment.
Yeah.
See?
I'm just confused about the nimitta of the rupa, not about the nama. It is experiencing by any citta or?
When visible object is experienced, no, not when it's experienced, but when it's thought about after the experiencing through the sense door, it has just fallen away. When it's experienced by the mind door, following the sense door process, it has just fallen away. And so it is the nimitta of the just fallen away rupa that is experienced.
I think it's the concept
that is
of
the object
just seen. Not the nimitta.
It doesn't matter whether we think of it as a concept or not, but the point is only that somehow the mind door is able to know that reality. Furthermore, there would have to be many moments of those sense door processes followed by a moment of mind door experiencing the just fallen away rupa for there to be a picture of people and things. So it's never just the experience of a moment of a rupa, but of many moments. And they may appear as just a continuous moment of rupa by virtue of the nimitta effect.
What is it?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay. What is it? More than that. What is seeing? See, when they are together, the nimitta is something new. Very, very fast, like there's a glass instantly. But how many moments of seeing that which impinge on the eye base to condition the whole shape and form as this and then different? It seems like in a moment.
This is back to what Maeve was bringing up. So actually the layers and layers and layers of nimitta, like the layers of the onion. In fact, nothing in the center, but there's the nimitta of the visible object, the nimitta of the sign, the shape, the details, before there's the nimitta of something there. In truth, actually, it's just visible object that was seen. Okay. And when there's understanding, even though it's not the visible object, because that's fallen away, it's the nimitta of the visible object that is experienced. But it's the characteristic of visible object, exactly the same, like a perfect photocopy, exactly the same characteristic of the visible object. So it makes no difference that it's the nimitta of visible object, because it is that exact characteristic of the reality, which is directly understood at that moment from having considered and studied and understood intellectually, to directly understanding the nimitta of that characteristic.
Whether we in snapshot like this, million of citta rise and fall, and so everything is so fast, actually. So now when we're saying seeing many of things continuously, and we're saying we know as seeing.
And you just mentioned about the nimitta of the visible object being experiencing. So
experienced, because the visible object can't experience anything. That which is experienced by seeing. So when it is the nimitta of visible object, it is the nimitta of the characteristic of visible object. It's not the visible object itself, because that fell away when at the end of the eye-door process, but it is that perfect replica of the visible object that is experienced by way of nimitta.
It just becomes a little clearer that even though it is complex, that we talk a lot about the visible object, but of course the same thing is happening with all the sense door processes, and it's making me realize how that contributes to the wrong view of the world as being full of things that last and that are solid and enduring, etc. Because it's not just seeing it's not just translating or transforming what is seen into people and things. It's also the being able, well, believing that through the nimitta of touching and hearing, or nimitta of sound and touch and smell and taste, that seem to contribute to coming back to Ajahn saying we live in the world of nimitta, an illusion, in fact, the dream world. So even though it's complicated, it makes it easier to understand why it is so hard to challenge wrong view, because there's a lot of constant reinforcement.
If the visible object itself just fell away and there was no experiencing of the nimitta of visible object, then there wouldn't be the thinking of wrong view about all sorts of ideas about what has been seen and heard. But it's because of living in the world of nimitta that there can be all these ideas of things and people conditioned by the sanya that has marked and remembered every visible object seen, every sound heard, every idea thought about. So it conditions the thinking about those nimittas, thinking about different ideas, different concepts, different things and people all the time. So we can see that why it's helpful to learn about different chitta seekers like memory, sanya, or because it conditions the thinking about people. If there was no remembrance of what has been seen or what has been heard at the moment of seeing and the moment of hearing, there couldn't be the thinking of all the ideas about what has been seen and heard. There couldn't be the living in the dream world.
Hmm.
So sanya plays a very important role, the memory at each moment. The experiencing of nimitta, it is with sanya. So that conditions all those ideas about the world of dreams and people and things. Yes, Haji?
Sarah, even you were saying sanya is a play a big role. If there's no sanya, I think nothing appears because there's no memory continuously. Then it's just chitta cannot arise without sanya.
So sanya is a chitta seeker, one of the ones that arises with every chitta in life. So at the moment of seeing, sanya marks what is seen. At the moment of hearing, it marks what is heard. Moments of thinking, it marks what is thought about. At every moment, this is why there come to be the ideas of gold tablecloths and different kinds of candy and notebooks, because sanya has been marking and remembering at each moment.
Chan, on the last discussion, you mentioned about the wrong sanya. Wrong sanya could harm chitta and chetasikas arise together. So can you elaborate more about this?
What was that? What is John?
No, actually no John. But it's still and, John.
And sanya mustn't remember right or wrong, wrongly, right? And more than that, wrong sanya or it arises with akusala moment. See? That's why we have to be very precise to understand the truth of each moment.
How about the ditti? A wrong sanya arises with the ditti and without ditti.
At moment of ditti, it's right or wrong sanya?
It's a wrong sanya. With ditti.
Akusala.
Akusala.
Can there be wrong sanya, akusala sanya without ditti?
I think can.
So when we're talking about wrong sanya, we're talking about akusala sanya. So it can be sanya arising with ditti, with wrong view, or sanya that arises with lobha or dosa or moha, but without wrong view.
Yes.
But any time akusala arises, it is wrong sanya. It's the perverted sanya.
Yes. Thank you. I got it.
Wrong sanya, but it drive function, right?
Can wrong sanya have the right function?
It's working like it's characteristic of remembering, but marking or remember the object, even if it's right or wrong, right?
It remembering rightly or wrongly?
Yes, if it's together with the kusala, maybe it's right.
Right. So if it's a wrong marking, can it be the right?
No.
No. So at the moment of thinking that it really is Jonathan over there that is seen, so sanya's performing its usual function of marking or remembering, but wrongly.
Right.
Well, wrongly, in a sense, it's not mismarking. The reason it's wrong sanya is the roots of the citta are unwholesome roots. The sanya doesn't make the citta an unwholesome one. It's an unwholesome citta because of the unwholesome roots, and the sanya simply is of the same nature as the roots of the citta. it performs the same function, whether the citta is gosala or agosala. We call it wrong because it's agosala.
At those moments of what we call wrong sanya, there's no sati remembering to be wholesome, no sati guarding from unwholesomeness arising. So it's wrong in the sense that no sati to guard at that moment, no kusala arising.
I think wrong sanya means bad sanya, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Unwholesome sanya. Sanya vipalasa, perverted sanya. What about tin now? Is there sanya at this moment?
There is sanya at this moment.
What is sanya marking and remembering now?
It can mark the visible object, the vedana. It can mark the concept that is thought out by the mind door process. I'm not sure if my understanding is correct, but sanya marks every moment that it's aware. Like,
not a moment of metta. Is it right or wrong sanya?
I believe it is right, sanya.
What about if it's a moment of metta with no right understanding?
That would be wrong, sanya.
But if it's metta, can it be wrong, sanya?
Oh, no, it's right, sanya.
Right. So any moment of kusala. What about moments of akusala, like a little, tiny little bit of attachment now without any wrong view? Is that right or wrong, sanya?
Without any wrong view?
Yes.
With attachment, right?
Yes.
I believe it's right, sanya.
Even though there's attachment there?
This one, I'm not sure.
Right. So if there is attachment, even so very, very slight, like just looking at the color here, can it be right, sanya?
It's a kusala.
So this is what we're saying is wrong sanya. Wrong sanya, we're just saying, is unwholesome sanya. Yes. So whenever any akusala arises, then it is unwholesome sanya, wrong sanya. What about when you're cooking dinner very beautifully, checking all the ingredients, spending hours in the kitchen preparing all the different dishes and the pastries and so on? Right or wrong sanya most of the time?
Wrong sanya.
Why?
Because there's many moments of akusala arising.
Can there be right sanya at that time?
Well, if there's kusala,
right,
kusala citta that arises.
And what kind of kusala cittas can arise then?
Well, there can be metta. There can be understanding. I don't know what's the word for that.
Yeah, anytime. But like you say, most of the time, most of the day, no matter whether one produces a beautiful dish or no matter whether one is the best doctor in the country, no matter what, most of the day, attachment and ignorance. So wrong sanya.
Wrong
sanya. Most of the time. Right. Yes.
I have a question. So even though there's akusala arising, but there are understanding, right understanding, but there is akusala, that is still wrong sanya.
Can there be understanding at the moment when akusala arises?
Oh, no.
No. But when understanding arises, can it understand lobha, for example?
Yes.
Yes. So at that moment when lobha is the object of understanding, is it kusala or akusala?
It is.
At the moment when understanding arises and understands lobha, the characteristic of lobha, the nimitta of lobha, because the lobha has gone, so it's the nimitta of lobha. At that moment of understanding, is it kusala or akusala?
It's kusala.
Kusala. So the understanding can understand any reality, but when the understanding arises, it's kusala. And how about the sanya with that right understanding of lobha?
right or wrong sannya at that moment.
Right understanding of lova, right? That's the right.
Right sannya. Yeah. So whenever understanding arises, no matter what the object is, no matter its understanding of very great anger that arose at the moment of understanding, the understanding is right and the sannya is right.
Because it's different moment, right?
Different moment.
There's lopa at first and then there's
understanding of the characteristic by way of the nimitta. It must be the nimitta because the lopa has gone at that moment. The great anger has gone. Mm. So it may be your friend or your family member might think that you're still angry, but in the middle there can be understanding of the nimitta of anger. No one can tell from the outer appearance.
Right. Thank you.
Back to the times when you're engrossed in preparing food, for example, and getting a meal for the family, is there only thinking about what is immediately in front of you, or is there other thinking going on at the same time also?
There are other thinking going on at the same time.
Right. Not related to what you're doing, right?
Sure, for sure. Yeah.
And so if you found that at such moments there was thinking about Dhamma topics, that something you'd heard about or just considering things, idly thinking, could that be also a moment of kusala?
Yes.
Could be.
Right. There could be.
And because it arises spontaneously, it is not something that you've decided to direct your attention to, but it just happens because of your interest in the Dhamma, for example, or because you've heard something interesting recently.
And that is the right sannya, right?
If it's kusala, it's kusala. Right sannya. Okay. Yes.
In order to develop more understanding, would it be better to cook less and open more books? Or go to a quiet place?
Well, I think the studying of Dhamma could be anywhere, whether it's cooking or trying to read book or going to somewhere quiet. It's the reality that happening right now that we're trying to understand.
Right. And can one say that at that moment of cooking, there is seeing, just like there is seeing now? And what about in the forest? Is the seeing any different?
No, still color and a visible object.
And can one say that seeing is conditioned, just like the seeing whilst cooking or the seeing now?
It's conditioned.
So if there is an idea of changing the environment, like going to a quiet place without your mobile phone to have more understanding, would it be right or wrong?
That would be wrong understanding, wrong path.
Because
we're trying to control things, and that's always lopa, the attachment that's trying to force ourselves to feel a certain way.
Right. If we like to go camping and we go to a quiet place, is there any problem with that?
As long as there's understanding behind why one is motivated to go.
Right. And what is the reason why one's motivated to go?
Attachment to calm.
So this attachment to eating delicious food or going camping or going shopping. So it's very natural. So it can be understood.
Yes.
But if there is the idea that by giving up the cooking or throwing away one's mobile phone, going to a quiet place, that there will be more understanding because there's more time and more peace and quiet. Is that right or wrong sannya?
That would be wrong sannya.
Wrong sannya, right.
Which is more dangerous, attachment to pleasant feelings like when you go camping, or the thinking that going to a quiet place is going to be better conditions for understanding, which is the more dangerous kind of attachment?
The top dangerous is wrong will.
And what is the most dangerous of all akusala, as stated by the Buddha?
The wrong will.
So what is the true meaning of seclusion or solitude? as taught by the Buddha? What does it mean to really live alone?
I'm not sure this one. I've never read about it, but I would guess it's like lopa to the idea of being alone and attaching to that certain way of life.
So the Buddha taught that lopa is the mate, the one that follows one wherever one goes, to the quiet place or to the forest. So the solitude or the living alone are those moments when there is no lopa as the mate. So no matter whether cooking at home or being in the marketplace in Bangkok or coming here, at moments of understanding, it is just seeing now, just hearing, one world at a time. Those are the moments of truly living alone, true seclusion. Yes. Before the Buddha's time, people thought that seclusion just meant living in the forest, getting rid of one's possessions, living a particular way. But the Buddha taught that living alone means living without lobha, without ignorance, with understanding at this very moment. Because whatever arises now is conditioned. Seeing is conditioned. Hearing is conditioned. Thinking about camping is conditioned. Thinking about the meal one is preparing is conditioned. Each moment in life is conditioned. No one can change it. So dreaming that another place, another time, another reality would be better is wrong, Sanya. That's the point.
Thank you very much.
Tara, could you say that again? The lobha is the mate, and then the definition of true solitude. I'd like to hear it again.
So lobha is the mate that follows one wherever one goes, no matter to the forest, no matter to the marketplace, no matter to the Dharma discussion. So whilst one is living right now with lobha, no matter where and when, there is no living alone. So living is alone is when there is no lobha at this moment. So no matter cooking or in the forest or here, at the moment of understanding the truth, there is true living alone, understanding the world at this very moment.
Living alone means free from attachment and ignorance, free from that, because normally it's like bad friend coming to all the time and all that.
Just for a moment, living alone now. And so the Buddha taught that those in the forest that were living with attachment to sense objects, this is not living alone, but one can be in the very busy marketplace with understanding, then there is true living alone. I mentioned these examples because I had a discussion with Tin the other day, who said he was thinking of going to live very quietly in some quiet places. And so we had a bit of a discussion. So we were just continuing on from that topic. Otherwise, in the back of one's mind, one may always think, oh, well, if I was living in a place without any possessions or microphones, and maybe it would be better for my spiritual development. But actually, there has to be the learning to live alone wherever and when, because it's this moment of seeing, this moment of hearing has been conditioned already. No one can do anything.
It's not so much about getting rid of all these sense objects and running away from the world. There's a lot of ignorance there. It's being able to live in the world with all these sense objects, but detached from it.
It's learning to understand what is conditioned right now. So no matter what the clothes we're wearing, no matter what the objects are around, actually it's just visible object that's seen. It is just sound that's heard. So at the moment of understanding right now, it's living alone, no matter whether one's in a palace or in the forest. Seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing. So when there is the idea that if we got rid of the possessions or if we lived a simpler life, there would be more understanding. That is the wrong sanya. Thanks, Eve. Yes. Yes.
Living in Dhamma, as you said, one moment at a time, because it's possible to live alone for one micro moment, for one moment of citta, and then the ignorance and attachment and all that is right there.
Why we read about those who became enlightened, kings and slave girls, forest dwellers, monks, lay people, because the understanding doesn't depend on the appearance or the place, but just on the understanding of what appears at this very moment. And this is such a relief and joy to appreciate. This is a way to get rid of the baggage and all those ideas we've had about, oh, maybe we should be living a different lifestyle or should work less or do this or do that. As you say, all about self, not the understanding of what it means to live alone right now.
Yes, unfortunately, we need all these sense objects. I was telling
my friend about going to the pharmacy and where he could find the medicine he needed. So we need this, and it's possible for Kusala Nimitta to reflect on a Dhamma discussion on points or topics during the discussion that have registered. Even here in the discussion, there are moments, so many, where I'm just not here or not absorbing the material. In ignorance, I think I'm hearing and absorbing it, but this is not truth. And the other thing that just spontaneously came is what an amazing privilege and opportunity to have Ajahn teaching us. Monks come to her, and it will come in ages to come where the Buddhist teachings will be lost and there won't be a way. So there won't be a way to hear.
Just one detail, when you said we need sense objects, well, it's not a matter of so much of needing, but they are sense objects that are experienced now, because the visible object has already been conditioned, has already impinged on the eye sense. So is attachment there? Yes, instantly. But there can be moments of understanding and living alone, even though there are the experiences of the senses all through the day, followed by many moments of thinking.
Yes, it's just that one with Panya developed to a much greater degree will be eating the same meal I'm eating, so to speak, but without attachment, and I'm eating with attachment.
The lifestyle doesn't change if one enjoys cooking or one enjoys camping or does this or that. Well, life carries on as the same, because no matter when, there is seeing, there is hearing, there is thinking. So life carries on, but with more understanding.
We tend to pay a lot of attention to the question of attachment to sense objects, but it's worth remembering that the first unwholesome tendency to be eradicated by the Sotapanna, the stream enterer, is that of wrong view. And so there is still the same or similar level of attachment to sense objects. Even that being is enlightened, not yet fully enlightened, of course, but all wrong view has been eradicated. And the journey to final enlightenment is assured. There's no turning back. So it's really the wrong view that is the main obstacle, rather than attachment to sense objects.
That happens
much later. This idea of self wrong view?
The idea of self, like now, the idea of I am holding a microphone, I am speaking. Is it right or wrong view?
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's wrong. And is the sanya right or wrong at that moment?
Wrong.
So what is the question?
I just suppose the wrong view is quite very firm about something, not because like not daily life like this.
Because at the moment of wrong view, there's liking. It likes that object. When you say not daily life, but what about when this is taken for something, a table with a gold tablecloth? Isn't it daily life?
Yes. Right. So
any
at the moment,
atasanya, any wrong remembrance of self or something there?
Pardon, can you give example again?
Okay. So when there is the idea that something is there, a table with a gold tablecloth existing here.
Right.
Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong. Okay, so is it daily life?
Yeah.
Yeah. So more and more subtle degrees of ditti, more and more subtle degrees of the idea of atta have to be there. Atta doesn't just mean self, it means something. Mm. When I think this is a cup of hot water, and there's the idea of something there, this is atta. And we say atta sanya because it's the memory, the marking of self at that moment.
So my question is, because we are very, let's say put the going somewhere to attend to something, to understand the Dhamma, something like that. It also the wrong view. And things happen just like here, it's also the wrong view.
And when we're talking about wrong view or atasanya, it's the wrong remembrance about reality. Actually, it's just hardness that is touched. But when it's atasanya, there's the idea that the hardness is something. So the realities are taken something. When you just say, oh, I'm going to the foundation now, and you tell the taxi driver the way, who knows whether there is any atasanya, any wrong remembrance at that moment. It may just be many moments of attachment and ignorance. But when it's the idea of something that is seen, something heard, something tasted, then it is atta, the idea of atta.
Yeah, I mean, let's say meditation. We normally specialize about the point, the wrong view. Say meditation.
Yes, Ajahn's favorite topic. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to distinguish in between the idea of self, it's the wrong view. Meditation to get some result, something is the wrong view. Why normally we specialize that point of?
Because this is like the point I was discussing with Tin. When there is the idea of going somewhere to have understanding, like to the quiet place, giving up one's possessions or going to meditate, there is the idea behind it that following that practice, that method in that place, there will be more understanding. But there's no understanding at all that reality now is conditioned and no one can make understanding or awareness arise. It's the wrong understanding of what is the cause or the way for understanding to develop. It's the idea of I doing something to have more understanding.
Yeah, I agree that point.
You agree that?
Yeah.
And your point is we emphasize that aspect because it's very strong or obvious wrong path that can lead to many problems. Someone may go to the quiet forest, they give up their possessions, they give up their work, they give up their family, they give up their phone, they are more and more disturbed and cut off their lifestyle, more and more strange experiences. But actually, what about now? Because there can be the wrong understanding even now what about now when there's, when, like when we're talking about seeing, is there trying to understand seeing now? That is also wrong practice. Yeah. Or what about when just looking and there is the idea that someone is there? It is wrong understanding, but not enough to condition a very dangerous wrong practice. If one follows that wrong practice to go to that quiet place and cut off, then no opportunity to hear what is right. And one gets further and further away. But now moments of wrong understanding, moments of attachment, but there can be understanding and considering what it is so that gradually more understanding develops.
And actually even us throughout the day, since we woke up already wrong view, me who this thing, this, that, to do this, to do that, it's actually every day with all of us, everywhere, not just when you go to meditation center and all that, even right now also.
So we're discussing about the level of the, like, strong, right? Strong, very strong wrong view and normal wrong view. I just tried to, yeah, to get the point. Yeah.
Well, naturally there are degrees of wrong view, and wrong view that results in wrong practice is going to be stronger than wrong view that may be accumulating, but it's not all wrong view, because we said there's a lot of agusala in a day. So sometimes it's just attachment without wrong view. Sometimes it's conceit, and sometimes it's wrong view. And probably we don't know the difference between those moments when they occur in a day, but they're all going to be there more or less all the time at some level or other, in the background at least, but not conditioning wrong practice of any kind. In that sense, we can say we don't need to be concerned about the fact that those kinds of agusala are accumulating.
You mean why wrong practice be the problem? Because it make the wrong way become stronger and stronger? It is the
because
point?
Because it takes one further away from the goal.
Okay, okay, right. Yeah.
It's, agree. It's being on the wrong path. And it reinforces itself.
Maybe it's nice to close what was said on nimitta with a quote of Kunsujin that I heard this morning. Sawadika, Kunsujin. No doubt about nimitta now, because all that is seen in daily life, all are nimitta. And I suppose it was Odia that Kunsujin was pointing. Nimitta, nimitta, nimitta. So I think that was a nice quote. And I have also something else, and it was discussed also just now. Kunsujin said, Lobha should be understood. We should understand when Lobha is there. We should understand what Lobha is. So we've talked about this a little bit, like when we're motivated to go to the camping. But maybe Konstantin would like to elaborate a little bit more. We should understand when Lobha is there.
There's no understanding of whatever is there now. Can there be the understanding of Lobha at this very moment? That's why when there is the understanding of the truth of this moment, the understanding is there. No lopa can arise with right understanding at all, because it understands the truth that actually there's no one, no thing. So how can there be attachment to that which is begun to relax, to know that it's not there anymore? When it seems like it's permanent, it stays there, it is there, there is attachment to that which is still there. But in truth, nothing can last at all. So whatever appears now is gone instantly, unknowingly. But the nimitta of that appears as is still there the same. That's why without reality, there cannot be any nimitta. But just one reality cannot be known or appear as the object at all because of the very rapidity of the arising and falling away cannot be object, just a reality. As soon as it's there, it's gone. Now, what is there now is gone instantly, unknowingly. That's why I begin to understand what appears is not only one unit, one single reality. That's why what appears now, nimitta of what is there as what kind of rupa and what kind of nama. Even feeling right now, only one moment of feeling cannot be object of understanding. Only the nimitta of that kind of feeling can be the nimitta. That's why we learn to understand how much ignorance about the truth of each moment. That's why it can understand that no one can get rid by just reading, thinking, but understanding that there are different levels of right understanding of wisdom. The word in the Tripitaka, the Buddhist word, has so very, very deep meaning, very subtle to understand. If we just take it for granted, just it means that it's not enough at all. For example, there is no one. What is it? No one. Because there are only different realities. Seeing arises in false way. It cannot be anyone. And it cannot belong to anyone at all. Because it's not there anymore. In order to let go the idea of self and the clinging to that object, it is only by understanding the truth that it's not there anymore. It appears as it's still there, but in truth, it's not there. That which is object of attachment a moment ago is not there. But what appears is another moment, another object of attachment unknowingly in life from moment to moment. That's why understanding the absolute truth, that there are so many different absolute truths by conditions. There can be doubt about how come the reality which experiences the object right now. But what about the other hardness, the sun and the moon? How come? By conditions. So that can be the reality which arises to experience the object by conditions. And that is no one. So Buddha enlightened the truth of each reality as the seeing is not that which is seen. And in the day, there is no thought about seeing. There is always thinking about that which is seen by the nimitta all the time. This object, this thing, that person, and on. So, in truth, actually, a moment of conditioned reality arising and falling away instantly. How can there be someone or something? And there can be this person as I or you only in this life. After just a moment of what we call death, no more this person. Never to be found at all. And what is the next moment after death? Birth, new person. So whatever is done in the past life and this life condition that personality as new person. No memory of this life at all. Even in this life, can you remember the moment 10 years ago or just yesterday? See, even just a moment ago, it's gone. That's why it goes on with ignorance and attachment, because of not understanding the truth that nothing is permanent. It's just the way it is, rolling on so very, very quickly, non-stop at all in samsara. And that is the moment of begin to see whether it's pleasant, sukha, or it's dukkha. Nothing, only that which is conditioned to arise and fall away all the time, never to return, never be the same. Even attachment arises, no matter in what life, what moment, it performs its function attached to that object, even if it's not known as anything. Like, what's that? Just a flash of sound or smell. What's that? It is object of attachment. What is it? See, attached to what is it? That's why whenever there is the ignorance, not understanding the truth, that nothing is permanent at all gone at that moment, no matter what's it, no use at all to try to find out and to think a lot in life about this and that. In truth, they're all gone, nothing. For example, seeing only once in samsara of this very moment of seeing, never to return, hearing, thinking, liking, disliking, everything, never to return. And this is the beginning to understand life or a moment of life. Without a moment of experiencing an object, there cannot be any life at all. Even while one is fast asleep, not die yet. So it's life, different from a moment when it sees, hears, smell, taste, touch, and think. But it's the experiencing an object. The truth has to be the absolute truth. Nobody can change it. The reality which is conditioned to experience the object has to arise when there are conditions for that particular experiencing to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and then gone. So today, when time comes to sleep, where are you? Who are you? Everything's gone. No memory of what has happened in that day at all. And life begin again. I wake up as soon as something appears. I again. I see again. I hear again. And then at night, fast asleep again. Everything is gone. Until the end of this life, not to be this person anymore. And then next one, the same. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, liking, disliking, and then die. Ends up this very short life. No matter how long it is in Deva, there must be birth and death by conditions. And it does mean that we have to rush to deny the life or not having attachment to it. Because attachment is no one. It's there by conditions. That's why understanding the truth is not self. It's moment of understanding of what is heard, that it conform with the truth of this moment. What is there now is conditioned to arise and is gone unknowingly. And there are next moment on and on and on. Non-stop, until right understanding can understand the truth a little more, to see that what's the use of just being conditioned to experience and then gone and take it for I, while there's no I and no one at all. That's why what appears now can be understood with firm understanding of the truth, of seeing, of hearing, of thinking, of what is now, at this very moment, and in a day. Tomorrow, where's today? See? And where's yesterday? Exactly the same gone, unknowingly, on and on and on and on, nonstop. That's why the understanding of what is then appearing can let go wrong understanding, which takes it for permanent I or thing. Better than not understanding the truth, because the truth is now and it cannot be changed at all. So there are strong accumulation, wrong understanding. Because no right understanding, even from hearing and considering, until each word of the enlightened one represent the reality right now as it's so true. Before seeing, there's no seeing. Before hearing, there's no hearing. And now hearing's gone, seeing gone when there's hearing and thinking. All are unknown. That's why there is the wrong understanding, taking it for something. And this is the basic wrong understanding for other wrong understanding, as there's the Creator, one or so on, the God, and the little God. But you see that when we use the word, there are different meanings. Like they were, see, some will use the word God, little God. God, 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 not the big one, not the Creator. So just learn about the truth when time comes by conditions and consider the truth that is so true. And there can be confidence of the truth unexpectedly, unknowingly, even right now. The confidence of the truth of this moment now is different from 10 days ago or 10 years ago. And next life, see, the accumulation of right understanding is parami. And all akusla cannot condition right understanding at all. And by understanding that, it knows only wholesome reality arising, that it's not time for akusla to arise. If kusla does not arise, it's time for akusla all day. Understanding the danger of akusla by understanding the truth of life, of reality, condition moments of more kusala naturally, little by little, unexpectedly, more metta, see, because understanding, no one likes to have pain and loss. So we don't cause pain and loss to the others at all. And have compassion of their ignorance and akusla. Instead of blaming or thinking that he's so bad, we don't get close to them, we stay away from them. What about metta? Be friendly. Even the killer would like to have someone to befriend. And it's not hard, difficult to be friendly. See, very easy not to have attachment or aversion or think about his badness or evil deeds and so on. Not him, but the accumulation of akusla only. And who knows about one's past life? Could it be just like that person? Without friend, lonely, and so on. So the best thing for everyone is understanding the value, the precious moment of kusala. Even if so little, it's better than none. And the more little moment can be more moments of kusala instead of akusala. And right understanding can understand even at that very moment that no one at all. Because what in life can show up is only the objects through the senses and the mind. What is there now appearing? Sensor, seeing. And what is heard? Another moment, that's all, from moment to moment. And then sleep, no eye again, nothing again. But as soon as one wakes up, I instantly. So understand the words of the truth. For example, the very subtle attachment as asava to whatever is there through the six, the five dhavas is kamasava. And there is ignorance, avichasava, instantly not understand the truth of that moment. And when there is wrong view, even right now, 3 moments after seeing, who knows is there. That's why it's always I. Sitting, standing, walking, talking all the time by asava through the 6 ways unknowingly because so very subtle. And no one who can have more understanding than by conditions only conditions to have more or less understanding of the truth. And no one knows, no certificate, no check. Like Sariputta, he didn't realize at all he would be sotapanna after hearing the words from Asachi. Who knows? They came to watch or see the play, see and so on, as anybody, usual, normal life. But the understanding is like the fire which is covered up with the glass unknown. It's so very, very big fire, ready to eradicate all wrong view as soon as there is a hearing about the truth. At that very moment, understand the truth of what is there. As now, there can be the very strong and keen, very skillful understanding of the truth of what is there. For example, that which experiences an object, it's now. It experiences an object. That which cannot experience the object, it's now. And at moment when a reality appears, remember one object at a time and the experiencing no shape, no form. It's not hard or soft, but it's there, arises to experience. So the world is lost instantly when it appears as that which experiences, not the object. No doubt about the characteristic which now sees, no shape, no form, only a moment of experiencing an object. Because there is something seen without the seeing, how it appears. It cannot appear without seeing at all. So it's the word of 6 ways in life. From morning to night, every moment in life, that's all. While the other realities are there, they do not show up at all. Even they were there, they are there now, not known, like Pasha, Vedana, and so on, until it's there as the object only that can be known. For example, feeling. There's feeling, not just seeing. What kind of feeling? When it's not pleasant or unpleasant, it's hardly to know. Because it's always there. After seeing, hearing, smelling, taste him. Even at moment of touching, when it's not too strong, unpleasant or pleasant, it's not known. But it's there. Different from the moment of indifferent feeling. What are they now are taught by the enlightenment to understand the truth. Otherwise, there is always no understanding, ignorance of that which appears right now, from moment to moment. Very, very natural.
And you say very, very natural. And when we should understand that lobha is there at this moment, I'm thinking about what Sarah said, the solitude. We should understand when we are together with the mate, lobha, in tandem or duo. But it should also be natural. So how do you explain that to a beginner? We should understand when lobha is there, but it should also be natural.
Everyone knows lobha when it's there, right? Do you like this? Do you like this? You know,
but it's lobha. With lobha, we don't.
But no understanding of the truth of it. Even it shows up as lobha attachment to something so much. You feel that way, you know that way, you understand the length, the nature of it, but not understand it as it is, as no one is conditioned to arise because the objects are very pleasant by conditions and then gone. What is left is the memory, wrong memory, taking it for something permanent. That's why akusla arises most of the time in the day, different level. Now there is ignorance of seeing. There's seeing and jhavana of the process, ignorant, not understanding the truth. Or attached to that object, kamaswa. They all the unknown. That's why Buddha taught about the details, the very subtle reality. How many realities are there at moment of seeing? Each one conditioned the other. Without one condition as pascha, they cannot be seeing. Just a moment of seeing is conditioned, and there are many conditions for its arising. This is the moment of letting go, little by little, the idea of self, unknowingly, until time comes for direct awareness with direct understanding of what we are talking right now. It can be the moment of awareness, of hardness, but right understanding is so weak, so very little, it begins to notice or attend to hardness. Because now no attention to hardness at all. But when it's there, conditioned by hearing a lot again and again of just a reality which appears as hardness. By then, right understanding, understand that that is the object of understanding of the truth in life. Otherwise, there cannot be any understanding of the truth in life at all. So even it's only hardness and it appears many times in a day, no attention, no understanding, no memory, sanya, of that object until it's there by condition, directly aware. So no doubt when it's there, that is another level of sati. Not just the word sati, but the function of sati, which begin to be satindriya, because it can be aware of that which hasn't been aware of at all before. Little by little, developing with detachment, no special time, no special word, just my condition is there. As seeing right now is my condition. So direct awareness at that moment is then by conditions. All are conditioned to arise, depending on whether it is appearing or it is the object of awareness and right understanding or not. No selection, even hardness. See? The most precious moment is understanding the truth of it. No thing in it which is hard. No outside or inside when it's there. Because when there's no understanding, it's outside there and inside here. But only one reality appear. No way to think about whether what's inside and what is outside, because nothing are not there together at all. Only one reality. Can it be inside or outside? But before that, that can be the idea of it's outside or inside. But at moment when the reality appears as the object of understanding, nothing to compare whether it's inside or outside. So the understanding of the truth of each word deeper and deeper, that can be the understanding of how deep it is, how subtle it is, no matter it seems like it's not subtle at all, like hardness. But in truth, what is hardness? Not a finger, not a table, not anything at all. Only a moment of experiencing the object which is hard at that moment. So everything in life has to be object of understanding. Until no one and nothing at all. Each reality is different. Each moment never be the same. Only once or one in samsara.
So the truth is only just one single moment of experiencing. Could we say the truth is only one citta moment and we're far from it?
With cetasikas and many, many conditions, little by little.